Off the Ball Breakfast.
Fairly extraordinary feeling. Just stood up and I just stood there in silence for a couple of minutes. I actually could not believe what I just seen. It was absolutely remarkable.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
You're welcome along to the Sunday Kickback with William Hill, Nathan Murphy and Vinnie Perth with you. We've just been watching Newcastle United beat Tottenham by 2-1. Somehow, Vinnie. Tottenham got nothing out of that game.
Yeah, I imagine they're really frustrated. Look, we know Harry Kane left and they have had Richarlison has done really well for them, and when he's led the line over the last period of time, and Solanke they've brought in, that's the big hope. He's obviously picked up an injury, but they so missed the centre forward today. Created a lot of good opportunities and just felt that putting the ball into the box was no one there with that sort of finish, and they lacked a centre forward, and that's plain for everyone to see. And look, they're unfortunate in one sense, but the big concern is someone like Son wasn't at the races today, and without them two centre forwards playing, they're going to struggle to score goals. And it was a good performance from them. They close on 70% possession, but didn't do enough to win the game.
It's 4 points from 3 games now heading into the international break, and they were very convincing against Everton last week. The opening weekend they beat Leicester, or they drew with Leicester on the Monday night, but similar today, dominated possession, created loads of chances, and when they were totally on top didn't take them and allowed Leicester away back into the game. Is this the old cliche Ange Postecoglou can go back to of, well, I'd be worried if we weren't creating chances? Or is there a bigger issue? Like you mentioned at one stage, it's a bit Spursy to be that good, but not to actually win the games.
Yeah, I think when I said that, I felt a little bit Roy Keane-ish, but it is a little bit Spursy, their performance today. A lot of really good things, a lot of stuff where you go. A lot of green shoots, for want of a better word. A lot of good performances. Madison, they need him really hitting form. Bazuma in midfield, when he started the season so well last year, he was a big part of that, I felt, and a lot of really good things, but just that final ball just wasn't there for them. And that will be a concern. Romero defended really well, Dragojan done really really well for them, so there was a lot of green shoots. The Pero and his positional sense and his what he brings to the team, really really good. Unfortunately, they've come out the wrong side of it, so you wonder at what stage there's a bit of pressure build towards the manager, because
the North London Derby is their next game at home. You know, if they were to lose that, suddenly you've got 4 points from 4 games and you probably are starting to feel a little bit of pressure. But is it too simplistic to say that if Solanke or Richarlison were fit, that they win that game today?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm not sold on Solanke yet being the answer to all of the problems. I think he's got a lot. Yes, he's had a good couple of years, but I'm not sure he is the player that is going to go and get that sort of 17, 18, 19 goals a season when you compare it to Isak, who looks like he could go to most teams and score goals. And the opposition today, I don't think he's going to give them that. So that would be a concern. And the recruitment there and the lack of real strength in that centre forward position, you feel like it's going to hurt him, because he seems strong in other areas.
Well, there's so many options for those sort of front four positions today without a centre forward, where you have the likes of Werner coming off the bench. Brennan Johnson came on and made a big impact in the second half, and he must be throwing his arms up in the air afterwards saying, what else do you want me to do? I created 4 or 5 chances, pulled it across, and there's nobody making the run. What's their best? If you take it that Solanke is first choice number 9 when fit, what's the best 3 behind?
You still think Son has to play in that team, albeit he looks a little bit sluggish at the moment, a little bit off it. You know, Johnson came on today and was really good. Some sports fans would say his end product isn't what it should be. So look, Kulusevski probably gives them a little bit. Last week against Leicester, the opposition weren't as good, but or last week against Everton, should I say, it was Kulusevski alongside Madison as 2 8s, and that's a real attack minded. If you remember, they started the second half like that today, and they were really really good. So Song on one wing, Solanke leading the line. Richarlison is obviously a good player as well to have in your team. You can't fit both of them in. And look, you're splitting hair who fills in that last position. And again, as I said, the way the two fullbacks play, they have it all. I think the driving force of how where Spurs finish this season, if they are going to crack that top four, is if Solanke scores goals from. I think it's as simple as that, because it feels like they will create enough chances for someone to get to that 20 mark as a centre forward. So I think they're resting all the hopes on him this season.
What about the goal they concede then that wins the game, and that incredibly high defensive line, and Udogi ends up having to mark a striker and a right winger, and he's a little bit confused and in no man's land in the end? Like, we saw them concede that goal a lot last season. Everything we've seen from Postecoglou suggests this is what I do, this is how I play. Do you just have to accept that those moments are going to happen?
Yes and no. I mean, I think the decision that we made, like, the bottom line is when Joe Linton gets his head up, that's when your shape and what your style of play and your high line doesn't count. That's where you've got to get in, get tight, and your back four becomes a unit as such. And you hear so many coaches talk about that. And the decision Undoggy made was, he's seen Livermento on the outside, but that's not the threat. He was almost touching the sideline. The threat is Jacob inside. He's got to come narrow. It's got to be a narrow back four and defend that ball. It's different if there's pressure on the ball. There's none. He's got to get in and defend, and he didn't. And at the ease in which, yes, it's a good quality 30, 40 yard pass by Joe Linton, but the ease in how Jacob gets in is a concern for Spurs. You've got to get in narrow, defend the spaces, and he didn't. And ultimately, it's a very simple goal that Newcastle scored, and completely against the run of play, as we said, and that will be a concern.
In saying that, and if people didn't see the game, while it was against the run of play, Newcastle actually did create a lot of chances. In fact, almost every time they went forward, it felt as though they probably had that little bit more of a cutting edge in attack right from the start. Alexander Isak, if he had scored that goal where he chipped the keeper and instead it came off the post, we'd be talking about one of the great Newcastle United goals. Harvey Barnes had a chance before he scored in the first half. Everybody's a bit confused as to where Newcastle are and what the expectations should be. Last season felt like a big disappointment defensively, nowhere near where they were the previous year, missed out on European football completely, haven't qualified for the Champions League, and haven't gone and reinvested. They do have Tonali back today, but haven't gone and invested the way people thought that they would. What's their level based on what you've seen from the three games so far?
I was disappointed in today. I think midfield wise they're really, really strong. Gomez, Joe Linton and Tonali looks like a really strong, powerful midfield that will cause opposition problems. Up front, Isak, we think, can get to that 20 goals mark. Harvey Barnes, decent. Anthony Gordon plays with a little bit of the weight of the world on his shoulders at times, and then when he comes alive, he's very good. Thought he was average enough today. I think defensively they're struggling. They need a centre half into the team. They've had to play Dan Bourne, who's normally been a left back for them. They've had to play him in that sort of defensive position. So look, they're probably struggling with that sort of, they need that big performance in there.
Isak's looks an incredibly special player, though. I know you're saying he did drift out of the game at times, but 21 goals last season in the Premier League, and he seems to have it all. He's got a great range of passing, he can stretch a defence, he's physical, he's good in the air, he gets poacher's finishes, he scores spectacular goals. Like, Newcastle now look at themselves as a very big team, but does he look like one of, after Erling Haaland, the best number nines in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think he's right up there. He drifted out of the team today. I wouldn't put any of that down to him. And particularly in the first half, they tried to really press Spurs, and he was at the heart of that. His work rate was phenomenal. His finish will go down as a simple finish, but it was a 6-yard side foot, but he earned that by his work rate, I would say. He was a little bit isolated at the time, and that was the challenge. I think Tonali playing regularly for them will help him, because he has huge energy. Longstaff is plays a little bit deeper and likes to join in, but hasn't got the same tenacity going forward, I would say, as Tonali. So I think that will help. He needs more from Harvey Barnes and Anthony Gordon in terms of service, and if he gets that, I think he'll get goals, and that will be the key to him. Feels like Newcastle probably need a little bit more quality in the fullbacks. You compare them to Spurs, I think Spurs have much more quality in their fullbacks, and so often fullbacks create chances for strikers in the modern game.
What about Kieran Trippier then?
Yeah, there's something obviously going on there. I really like Kieran Trippier, but we expect him to move on and leave the club, and he didn't, so that would be the key. I'm not sold on Livramento yet. I know he's got into the England squad. He just looks like, listen, to play in the Premiership now, you have to be a class footballer. He just looks like he's not of the next level up. He looks short of that. When you think of the amount of fullbacks England have, you don't feel he's in that. They're world class, what they have. You don't feel he's in that category.
I dare say, Heimer Hallgrimsson, when he gave that line about wanting a bit of a bastard, he probably looked at the two central midfielders, central midfield today, and thought, would take any of them, because seven central midfielders were booked during the game today. It was that sort of match. Ireland, England, we're going to talk about it a lot during the course of the week. That's going to be the big talking point, is that central midfield position. Josh Cullen has started all but one competitive games over the last 3 years. We've sort of spoken about him being irreplaceable, and now we're in a situation where we're wondering who actually is going to be the player who takes that place. Do you change system to accommodate him not being there, or is there somebody you just have to trust and hope can do a job on a one-off occasion?
It's a strange one, like, because we have to manage our team like a club side, our international side, and sort of make do with what we have. We don't have like huge amount of talent group, and we've got to continue to build that in the background and get more players playing at a high level that we can rely on. There is an argument now that, do we look at somebody like Anita Collins and say, do we experiment that? Because if Josh Cullen isn't available, we need to look at something.
Can't experiment against England with Nathan Collins in midfield.
Well, no, of course we can't, but we have to experiment at some stage. And can Nathan Collins play in the basin? We have enough centre halves, whether it's Jacob Bryan, Dara O'Shea, the list is endless of centre half who can play. So we may have to look at maybe dragging one of our centre halves in there, and he seems to be the most likely who can do it. And when we have the ball, he'll drop into a back three, for argument's sake. So that is one option to look at. The other option is just going with someone like Smallbone and Connor. Who else have we got?
Jason Lumby.
Yeah, Jason Malumbi as sort of workhorses in there. Maybe that's one way of looking at it, but beyond that, I don't see a lot of options in there. It feels like we probably need to drag one of the centre halves out, because they're playing regularly, they're in a good place, and if you're to do that, he's a huge loss, because I think Nathan Collins can go and play at one of the top clubs over the next 2 or 3 years if his development keeps going. But maybe looking at bringing an Nathan Collins into midfield is probably something we could do a look at. And I hear your point about experimenting against England, but the England game isn't the important one. I think the other two ties are winnable, and we've got to start somewhere, and if Cullen's not going to be around for a while, maybe it's time we try the centre half in there.
Evan Ferguson was named in the squad, wasn't in the Brighton squad yesterday, and they weren't able to give him game time during the week. You'd have to assume that rules him out of starting the game. He hasn't played a match in 5 months. I assume that rules him out of starting the game.
I don't know. In one sense, I hope it does for Evan's development, short-term development. He's been coming back from this long injury. They've really looked after him. You know, obviously they hold him in such high regard at Brighton that they've taken their time with him. I think the plan was to play him in the midweek game, and he got an injury very early in that game, so they've had to make the change. A couple of these games at the start of the season come a little bit too soon for him. He's only been on the training ground, my understanding is, maybe 7-8 days with the first team. He's obviously been on the training ground in an individual setting. So it feels like the wrong time, but I'd like to think he needs some game time. I just hope we're not careful with him and we look at the longer term view, because once you come into a camp then, and as a young player, managers and coaches will take over and they will feel they know best. But I think Brighton might have something to say about that, I'd imagine, and their medical staff will certainly be speaking to the Irish one. But Adam Eadie, to be fair, has done really well, and it's no harm that he starts a game if that's the way it is. But hopefully Evan can get some game time. I don't think Brighton would be against him getting 15-20 minutes in this game.
All right, we'll talk an awful lot more about that during the week. We'll also talk a lot more about Liverpool and Manchester United. Stephen Doyle and Keith Tracy commentating on that. They're going to bring you all the reaction to that a little bit later on. Thank you.
Yep. Off the ball, breakfast.
Fairly extraordinary feeling. Just stood up and I just stood there in silence for a couple of minutes. I actually could not believe what I just seen. It was absolutely remarkable.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.